Good morning.
Glad you are here this morning. There's a number of empty seats, people gone on vacation, people maybe not feeling so well, and they're gone. But you're here, and you're here to worship the Lord, hopefully. I hope that is your motivation to worship Him and learn about Him and be together as a church family. And speaking of a church family, I think I have a little note here. It says, "Dear church family, Shelby and I thank you for your prayers during this time of healing for her broken fibula. We covet your continued prayers as it has caused other issues in her right leg and back, walking unevenly. The meals provided by Heart were delicious. We got to sample some very good dishes." Did you rhyme that on purpose? Wow. That was good. "It's a blessing to belong to a body of believers dedicated to ministering and praying for each other." Galatians 6:10, Dennis and Shelby Kish. Continue to pray for Shelby. Continue to pray for Ruby, who also had an ankle surgery as well, Ruby Hampton. Then I have one more announcement here to mention. It says, "Sign up today for Women's Bible Study. Books have to be purchased this week and will be handed out next Sunday morning. And the study begins September 3rd at Sharon Garfield's home." So I would imagine sign-up sheets probably back at the information booth or somewhere around there. Is that where it's at? Okay, good. I got a head nod. So I think that's pretty much all the things I need to mention. Just look over your bulletins. Make sure to check things on the calendar. If something looks a little fishy, we'll figure it out in discussion afterwards. But I'm just praising the Lord that we are all here today and to worship Him. So let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Father God, we do love you. We do thank you. We do praise you. We do hope that our motives are pure and right for being here. We do hope that you would bless our time together, that this morning we would just walk out of here praising you for your goodness and your watch care and just your sovereign presence in this room and in all of our lives. Father, we do lift up some of the folks that have been struggling with some different things. We think of the Snyder family with the loss of their son, Derek. Marvin, Carolyn, and the brothers and sisters, and Olivia, Derek's niece. And Lord, just watch over them, give them comfort and strength. Lord, we think of Ruby and Shelby, and we're just thankful that Mitch came through his procedure all right, and even Diane, we're thankful for that, what you brought her through. And Lord, others, I'm forgetting. Father, we're thankful for the work that's been done on the bathrooms and those that have worked so hard. And Father, we just would continue to pray that we would be right in the center of your will in everything we do. In Jesus' name, amen. Must have been left over from Bible school. It's been sitting up there for a week. Maybe you couldn't even see it. I don't know. Well, I think the Lord is here today. I'll tell you why I think that. I had to do a funeral yesterday, and I sort of put a lot of mental and spiritual energy into that sermon, I guess. Sometimes you hear pastors say how exhausting preaching can be sometimes, and really the vast majority of the time, I don't usually get like that, but for some reason yesterday, I don't know what it was, I can't really put my finger on it, but I was mentally drained and mentally spent, and it usually takes about 7 to 10 pages of notes to get a sermon ready, and going into yesterday, I only had 3 pages of notes. So I stayed up late last night, and actually not very late, not as late as normal, and I was trying to take notes, and I was trying to work, and it was about 10:30. I just decided, you know, I'm going to bed. I'm going to sort of give up on this. I'm going to get up in the morning. So I set my alarm for 5:30 this morning. What do you think happened at 5:30? Yep, snooze. Dave got it right. Yeah, snooze. I actually switched it to 6:30. Now, what do you think happened when my alarm went off at 6:30?
I snoozed it again.
Yeah, you're exactly right. So I changed it to 7:20, and then I got up, and I prayed. Actually, I had been off and on sleeping, and I was just praying that the Lord would work because I had no mental energy left. I could not really think straight, and I began to just read the verses again, and I read a couple other articles, and I just started writing things down, and I couldn't write fast enough because all of a sudden it was almost 9 o'clock, and I had to be to church soon. So I started typing as fast as I could, and this is what I have for you this morning. So if you have a Bible, find 1 John chapter 5, 1 John chapter 5. Could you bring me my water, please, Tommy? First, thank you. 1 John 5. This is our final sermon in our prayer series. We're going to wrap it up this morning. And we've chosen to talk about prayer not so much because we don't know what it is. We all know what prayer is. We all know that we can talk to God anytime, anywhere, any place, about anything. I think most of us in here know that we cannot really move forward in life without a lot of prayer. Prayer's not our problem. Our problem is that we're not getting the answers we want. It seems like we pray and we pray and we pray and we rarely get those answers that we're looking for. Well, I think 1 John 5, verses 14 and 15, as we read those, I think we're going to see the reason why we're not getting some of those answers that we want. It says, now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. I think the first idea in these verses that we need to consider is our confidence. And once again, I'm sorry I don't have a note sheet. I don't have a background thing. But our outline is very simple if you're keeping notes. It's two C's. The first one there is our confidence. Okay, our confidence. We can be confident that when we pray, he hears us. Is that what the verse says? I mean, very basic understanding of the verse. We can be confident that when we pray, he hears us. God hears us. Now, if you study other religions all over this world, those other religions don't have that confidence. Confidence during prayer is uniquely Christian. We have a God that guarantees that he will listen and answer us. Now, of course, we know the answer might be no. The answer might be not now, but God guarantees that he will listen. No other religion's like that. The second largest religion in the world behind Christianity is Islam. And if you read much about Islam, they pray frequently, 5 times a day. They're required to pray. But their God, Allah, is sort of an uncaring, indifferent God. He doesn't really want to listen. He doesn't guarantee he's going to answer. In fact, sometimes he's off in the distance. Who knows what he's doing, but he's not really listening to prayers. In fact, the only confidence that you can find in Islam is if you kill someone in jihad. Then you can have confidence that you'll go to heaven, but that's the only confidence that they offer. There's another religion in Asia that has a temple, and people go to this temple, and apparently large crowds of people go to this temple, and they pray to this idol, but before they go, they actually sort of form a ball of dirt from the temple floor, and I don't know if they spit on it or if there's water or what they do, but they sort of make a mud ball, and they have to throw it at the belly of this idol, and if that mud ball sticks on that belly and stays there, then they will have this idea that he'll answer their prayer. If the mud sticks, it will be answered. Wouldn't that stink? What if you're some kind of a nerd that is not athletic and you just can't throw and you're sort of, you know, like that, and I didn't make it, and what if our prayers depended on mud balls? But really, that's how some people operate. They essentially throw some prayers at God and they cross their fingers and hope for the best. But Christians, we can be confident that God hears our prayers. You see, prayer is not an experiment. It's not a luck thing. We pray with confidence as if it's a sure thing that God will hear us. Now, just for a moment, think about the prayers that you prayed last week. Think about those prayers. Did you have confidence that they were being heard? Or are you just kind of tossing them out, hoping that they'll stick? Now, here's how I know that we can have such confidence in the Lord. I know we just read verse 14 and 15, but look at verse 13. It says, "These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God." You see, we can have confidence because Jesus is our Savior and we have eternal life. It's not because of who we are or what we've done. It's because of God's amazing love for us. That's why we're saved. That's why our prayers are always heard. You know, God does not answer our prayers because we've somehow worked our way into His good graces or because we've earned it. The only reason God hears us is because of Jesus. Jesus is the reason why we have so much confidence in our prayers. Confidence that God hears us. You know, without Jesus, no one would dare approach such a powerful God. Have you ever thought about that? The creator of the universe who said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Without Jesus, you wouldn't dare go into that throne room. So it's all about Him. Jesus did all the work, and that's why we have confidence in prayer. During the construction of the Golden Gate Bridge in San Francisco, history tells us that 23 individuals fell to their death. And it took 23 deaths before the management and the hierarchy of the bridge put up this safety net. In fact, death was so common that almost everyone working on the project had a friend that had died. Well, good thing that they put up that safety net. It saved at least 10 men, 10 lives. But there was another curious benefit to that net. The efficiency of the work went up about 25%. When the workers knew that they were safe, they were able to work harder. Now, the same should be true of us. The reason why we can get down to business in our prayer life is because Jesus, He's our safety net. He has given us eternal life. So pray away. Pray all you want. You don't have to doubt. You don't have to worry. You don't have to fret. You don't have to wonder. You don't have to think that you have to be perfect. Know that Jesus is perfect. And know that He's our confidence. Which brings us to the second idea I want us to learn in these verses. We can have confidence in our prayers because of Jesus, but there is a condition. There is a condition. That's the second C. There is a condition. How are we to approach God in prayer? It says we must ask everything in accordance to His will. You see that? Pray in everything in accordance to His will. As a parent, you know how important this concept is. If your child was to ask you to make an entire meal out of candy, what would you do?
Well, Daddy, pretty please, let me eat this huge pile of candy for dinner. Would you do that for your child? Some of you are thinking, well, I'd do that for my grandchild. Then I'd send them home to their parents savoring my sweet revenge. Listen, folks, if a child asks you to do something, do you always give it to them? No. Would it be good parenting to always give your children what they wanted? No, it'd be terrible parenting. You know, God is not in the business of fulfilling our every selfish desire as if he's some genie in a bottle. God, he's our Father. He is wiser than that. He wants our good. Romans 8:28, right? And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. He wants our good. He wants what's best for us. So that's why there's this condition to answered prayer. Answers are always going to be according to his will. Always. Do you remember when the disciples asked Jesus, teach us how to pray? What did he say to them? Jesus said, okay, here is how you pray. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus never said anything about our will being done. His sole concern was God's will. And that's what prayer is. It's asking God to do his will, which we've embraced. I don't want to take credit for that. That was too good for me, okay? And my mental state. I read that from another pastor, okay? Prayer is asking God to do his will, which we've embraced. Not my will, but thine be done. Another pastor said, prayer isn't persuading God to do what we want. Prayer isn't making him change his mind. It's aligning our will with his will. Which means we have some choices. We have some choices. We can either submit to his will or we can resist it by acting selfishly and praying selfishly. We can use discernment and see why he didn't answer as we suggested, or we can fall into depression that he's not answering our prayers. You know, discernment in prayer is saying, thank you, God, for not giving me what I asked because I realize now that it wasn't your will. Wouldn't that be tough? I think about that, and I wonder if I've ever said that. But this is what Jesus modeled. John 4:34, Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. John 6:38, for I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Another pastor wrote, God has promised to supply all our needs, not our greeds. The most important thing about prayer is the will of God. And if the answer you're looking for doesn't come, you can be assured it's not God's will. My children sort of go through various stages and phases, and they used to be in different phases, and they move on. Well, the phase they're in right now is coloring. They want the coloring books, and they get crayons, and they color. And some of the pictures they get right, like Darth Vader, okay? They colored them all black, okay? They got it right. Not a hard one, but they got it right. But other pictures, it seems like they get completely wrong. You know, green clouds and orange horses. But it seems like the more they color, the more they start to choose the right colors and the right crayons, the more they stay in the lines. In fact, Tommy ran out. I don't know what he had to do. But he recently won a coloring contest. I thought that was neat. He won this coloring contest. But here's our application. We learn to pray better the more we practice it. The more we practice prayer, the more we learn to stay in God's lines. and the more we'll have confidence that his lines are always about his glory and our good. But Pastor Josh, why pray if it's all about accomplishing his will anyway? I mean, if he's just going to do what he wants and do what he wills, why even bother praying? You know, you might come to that conclusion if you think prayer is about changing God's mind. Prayer is not about changing God's mind. It's about changing our minds. God intends to reshape our thinking through Bible study and prayer. And it's always about his will. So how's your prayer life? Think about that. How's your prayer life? Do you pray for his will? Or do you pray for your will? Now let's kick this up a notch or two. If you really want to pray and you really want to have an effective, powerful prayer life, it's not just about having confidence and it's not just about praying about his will. You must also live his will. So don't just pray his will, live his will. Well, where do you get that, Pastor Josh? Turn back one page. Find 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3, verse 22. It says, whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. You know, I tell you something about prayer. It really causes you to reflect on yourself. Do I really understand God's word? You know, the more you pray, the more you will not want to live a careless life. The less you'll say, ah, that doesn't matter. The less you'll think, well, God's gracious. I'm going to pray to him today and I'll let him do what I want and he'll let me do what I want. No, the more you pray, the more you'll search your heart and you'll see and look in case there's some hindrance to your prayers. Now, when you find those hindrances to your prayers, when you find those areas of disobedience, it doesn't mean that he doesn't love you anymore. It doesn't mean that you're kicked out of heaven. It doesn't mean that he's no longer your Savior. We're always secure in his grace. But it does mean you'll be driven to obey him more. And then you'll see some incredible answers. John 15:7, Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. This is talking about obedience. You know, we need to make sure that our prayers aren't just according to his will. We must live our life according to his will. So the question for us this morning is, can I really know God's will? Can you really know God's will for every circumstance in your life? Think about that. I want you to answer. By a show of hands, can you really know God's will for everything in your life? Anybody want to? Nobody? Nobody wants to take a chance there? Okay, how many of you feel that we cannot know God's will for every circumstance of life? Okay, few of you. Little, okay. Which is right? Can we know God's will for everything in our lives or not? Can I say yes, maybe, to both? We can always know God's will for every circumstance in life, in a sense, because we can know God's general revealed will. For example, if someone agitates me, is it God's will for me to retaliate? No. If someone disrespects me, should I get bitter or should I forgive? What's God's will? Obviously, forgive. I know what God's will for my life and those areas are. There's tons of Bible verses that flat out reveal God's will for our lives. He wants us to give thanks in all circumstances. He wants us to be sanctified. He wants us to do good. He wants us not to get drunk. He wants us to seek first his kingdom. I could go on and on with all the things that I know without a doubt that God wills for us to do. Now, in between, there are some of those little details that we don't know. For example, what color shoes should I wear to church today? I chose brown. Now, I know my color of my belt is brown. My shoes have to be brown, and my wallet's brown. Wow, okay, I'm good. There's no scripture speaking about what color shoes we should wear. Well, should I go to Africa on a missions trip? Well, there's no verse that says all Christians should go to Africa at least once in their lives. Now, this is where that obedience kicks in. This is where submission to God comes into play. Probably most of us Christians aren't really concerned with those little details anyway. Let's just be honest. Most of us in here aren't praying about the color of our shoes. The things that we are actually truly concerned about, thankfully, those are talked about in the scriptures. It's all there. His will, by and large, has been revealed to us. What we have to do is grab a hold of it and pray that it happens in your heart and life. I read this story about a young boy who went out to eat with his family, and it was one of those theme restaurants and sort of catering to children, and they had some TVs with some cartoons going, and on the TV was The Roadrunner, you know, Wile E. Coyote and The Roadrunner, and this little boy had never seen that cartoon before, and he was just enthralled with it. He didn't want to eat his dinner. He didn't want to pay attention to anything except that Roadrunner cartoon. And finally, after about an hour, the boy stood up in his chair and he yelled, "No matter what he does, he's never going to catch that chicken." Maybe that's what you think about your prayers. You never seem to catch that chicken. You never seem to get what you want. Perhaps what you've wanted all along has been contrary to God's will. And consequently, the things that you've been praying would not be for your good. Now, you might be tempted to think that God doesn't care. But he does care. He only wants what's good for us. So I dare you. Pray according to his will. With confidence. And see what happens. Let's pray. Father God, I'm thankful that you showed me this message, and it was in bits and pieces all throughout the week, and you gave me this final part even in this morning. I'm thankful how you overcame my weakness and gave us these verses to talk about. Lord, you can read every person's mind. Your spirit hopefully is indwelling in each one of these, my friends out here. You know hearts, you know our struggles, you know what's going on, you know what things that we've been praying about that you don't have any interest in answering our way. Father, help us to see what your will is. Help us to understand. Help us to lay aside our selfish whatever and focus on you. In Jesus' name, amen.